We are very grateful, very thankful that we can be here. I just admire the church. It's such a beautiful thing. I was sitting out there and I thought it's so lovely. And I thought, my, Lynn, I think this is kind of a rebuke to us. I look around and I see everything is so nice, neat, and tidy. And I thought, well, folks here must surely love God and care for their pastor and care for their church the way that they try to keep it up. To me, that's a real testimony for the name of Jesus. Enjoyed the singing of the young folks that sang for us up here. I think that was wonderful. And to me, I don't know of anything that's any better than just going on with Jesus. Now, there's lots of things that one can do in life. I think you'll agree to that. As I've often said, I prayed for a long time, as Brother Zeman said, to try to find my place in God. And one day the Lord told me what it was. I kept asking and I kept asking. And one day from the scriptures, he spoke to me and I ran across a scripture that said, I'm less than nothing. And I thought, well, that's my place. I knew it was somewhere. I'd find it sooner or later. I finally found it. So I'm just grateful. I see Brother Willie and his wife up here. I'm really surprised. I didn't know they'd venture out this far. But I'll tell you what, that really does bless me to know that they come way up here. It's a long ways. I really love those folks, and I just appreciate them coming up here to be with me. As far as the offering, I'd rather that you folks would take the offering tonight because I didn't come here for an offering. So I'd rather not get one. I'd rather you wouldn't even ask me to take it because that's not what I come for. And I'd rather you'd have it. I thank you for your kindness if that's your consideration. But that's not what we come here for tonight. I'd rather on this particular occasion that it would just be, you know, another way. We are supposed to go down to Albany, we're supposed to be there tomorrow night and have a meeting. And I trust that God will bless us and help us. And I covet your prayers. I'd like for you to pray for us and pray with us that God would help us. We've had a lot of invitations here and abroad and in the islands and different places, and I've not tried to fill any of them in the last few months because God stopped me for a while, and whenever you get ready, well, I'll be ready. So when he got ready, we began to move with more of a regularity than we had been moving. We had not stopped in our evangelistic endeavors. We'd been moving across the country from the west, from California to Florida. And we had been on the radio around the nation. And we've been on radio all around the nation, getting mail and the praises from the people concerning the Word of God. Now, I would love to say something here, and then after that, I want to talk with you just a little bit, if you'll give me opportunity. First of all, I don't believe in being hypocritical. In other words, whatever you are, well, I believe that's what you're supposed to be. I don't believe that we ought to make believe that we're something if we're not. The Bible said he that boasts himself of a false gift is like a well without any water. And it don't take people long to find out if they ever get thirsty that it is a well without water. But the Bible says if a man hath a gift, it'll make way for him to let another's lips praise you and not your own. So, I don't like to be hypocritical. I'm just a country boy that loves the Lord, is brought up the hard way, and trying to do something for God, have been trying to for many years across the nation. I know that we've had a great move of God. We've had some of the greatest moves of God that anybody could have ever desired. Men like Oral Roberts, men like A.A. Allen, a lot of people criticize them and say they were of the devil and those kind of things, but I know that God moved in their lives. I know that God raised them up. I know God done great things through them. And I know that because they don't look at it like we do in this day, well, we say away with them, but if we do that, we've got to do away with Wesley, we've got to do away with Luther, we've got to do away with everything all the way back. So I'm a firm believer that God only required from them what they knew and what they understood. And that's the way I see it. And I don't believe that God has ever required anything out of anybody that they didn't have. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do the will of God or good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we're further told in the Bible that God will not let a man escape if he do wrong. If a man does wrong, God will whip him. But the man that knew not, that is, he didn't know to do the will of the Lord, the Bible said he shall be beaten with few stripes. Now, God won't leave him altogether unpunished because he ought to have went out there and tried to learn. God will give him a whipping, but it will be with few stripes. The Bible said that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not, he shall be beaten with many stripes. And so then I want to be ever so careful to try to do the right thing. Now, I know that Brother Ben is open-hearted. I know he loves God. I know he believes in the message of our day. I know he believes in Brother Branham. And I certainly do too. As a matter of fact, I was the one that brought the message over into the areas of Athens and back all through there. And though they've gone off the deep end with it and made a mess out of it and about wrecked Brother Branham's ministry and everything he stood for, yet it is a true fact that God really done something. I have been privileged to be in a position to be able to see where Brother Branham was and see who he was, know what he was, and see who Brother Allen was and Brother Roberts was and the other men. Not only was I able to see who they were, but I was able to predict their deaths and when their minister would terminate, down from as far as Billy Graham, men like Billy Graham and men like Armstrong and Allen and Oral Roberts and Billy Branham and all of those great men. The Lord showed me their lives, and I spoke of the end of their ministries and what would happen in the death of some of them, and it happened exactly right down the line. It's exactly like we said. Now, because I saw who they were and what they were and what they were doing, but I can truthfully say that some of the following of those men have made one big mess. And I know that that is true with every man that God ever used, that always there's some people that try. The devil has got them everywhere, Brother Ben, to try to kill out the effects of the ministry. When God raises up something, then there is demons and devils that try to overthrow it with flattery and with all kind of different things. But there is one thing for sure, that in spite of all of this, God has done a great thing. And I have heard Brother Branham spoke of from every perspective of life. But Brother William Branham was a great prophet of our day. And he was preordained to bring a message that was to stir the entire world and to lay the foundational means for the catching away of the bride. Now, I am not hypocritical. I'm just plain and honest. I've seen these men so many, many times, how that they have gone from place to place and took Brother Branham's ministry because that they wanted to build themselves up and project themselves, and so then they just commercialized off of the man of God, and they used him to get his following and to get his people's attention, and in so doing it, to build them a personal enterprise or something to where that they could have an income. Pardon some of my expressions. I'm kind of, Paul said, rude in speech, not in knowledge. I'm not a polished scholar. But anyway, it's like a fellow had come to me and he was trying to tell me how that everything was all over. He said, it's all over. It's all over. I said, well, that's good and well. If it's all over, it's all over. I said, but I don't believe that. And he said, well, it is. Said, Brother Branham said it's all over. And I said, well, I said, it's fine. I said, that's what you believe. He said, our pastor says it's all over. And of course, they had a pastor, you know, Brother Branham passed on. And they had a pastor. Thank you, Brother Ben. They had a pastor, and he was a wonderful man, a great man. I've got deep respect for him. But he said, it's all over. I said, well, you going to church? Yeah, we go to church. You got a pastor? Yeah, we got a pastor. He tells you what you ought to do? Yeah, them kind of things. I said, well, I want to ask you a question. I said, that pastor that keeps telling you it's all over, I said, what is he doing up there? I said, he's pretty smart. I said, he's made you his subject, and you're supporting his ministry, and he's going right on with his ministry, and all the time he's got you sitting down because it's all over. I said, he's a pretty smart fella. And he kind of got the fella kind of stirred up when he got to thinking about it. He realized that that was the truth. So see, people are pretty cunning and pretty smart. But I'll tell you something. The Bible is not all over. The Bible says, occupy till I come. And blessed is the servant I so find doing. I'll make him ruler over all I've got. So then, it's no time to stop. Brother Branham did not say those things, and people have misconstrued them and used it for their own personal benefit. To the contrary, Brother Branham said if he was building a house or if he was digging a ditch or planting a garden or whatever he was doing, that he'd continue right on doing it until the Lord come. He wouldn't stop. He'd go right on with him. That's the way it ought to be. Now, I believe that God brought a great message through Brother Branham. I believe that God brought a great message through Brother Luther. I believe he brought it through Brother Wesley. I believe that the greatest climax of it was through our Brother Branham. I believe that. And I believe that he was a milestone of the age, and the Bible said not to move the landmarks of the old fathers. But here we are, folks, 7 to 9 years on this side of the death of our great brother. Now, Brother Branham said this. He made this statement. He said, if there is a tomorrow, there will be a message for tomorrow. Here we are 9 years in a tomorrow, and you can believe that there is a message for today that we're living in. Now, a lot of people say what the prophet says and do what the prophet did and these kind of things, and I believe that. I believe we'll all see eye to eye. We'll all speak the same thing. And I do speak the word of God, and that's what he spoke. Long before I ever knew Brother Branham, I already knew baptism in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, I wrote him and asked him years ago when I finally learned about him. I wrote Oral Roberts, and I wrote A.A. Allen, and I wrote some of the others, Jack Cole, different ones. And I asked them questions as to what they believed about baptism in Jesus' name. And I remember the answers that they gave me. Brother Branham never did answer me. He never even write me. He never give me answer concerning it. For at that time, he was working among the Trinity churches and holding things as close as he could to be able to get in there with them. Now, but I learned later that he did believe in baptism in Jesus' name. I did not come up in what they call a Jesus-only church. I know nothing about Jesus only. I don't know nothing about the Jesus' name churches because I never have been affiliated with them. I preached to them. I've been able to go and preach to some of them, and they're wonderful people, just like there's wonderful people in the Trinity Church. I frankly believe both of them's wrong. That's what I feel about it. Maybe you don't, and if you don't, well, I love you just as much. But I feel like both of them's wrong. I feel like that the people in the Trinity Church has something, and there's something they don't have. And I feel like that there is some people in the Jesus name churches, they have something, and there's something they don't have. And I know this will make, I'll get a repercussion out of this, probably not here, but somewhere, the Brother Branham followers have something, but there's something they don't have, and they need to get a hold of it. And I believe with all of my heart that if we work together, love each other, that God in this last time, Brother Ben, will bring us together. And these wolves in sheep clothing that have slipped in among Brother Branham's followers and down through the ages among the other people, I believe with all of my heart that they'll begin to show up, spots and blemishes. Spots and blemishes. And those true sheep and true leaders that have been in captivity in that thing will come out, and we'll all come together in a great oneness of God and move on with the Lord Jesus, and we'll get the job done. I believe that with my heart. Now you say, you sure are taking a long time, preacher, before you ever preach. Well, I don't want to be hypocritical. People say all kind of things about me everywhere, and I try my best to take just a few minutes to let them know just what I am or what I believe and what I stand for, because I don't like to go into no man's pulpit or behind the sacred desk and use it in a camouflage and be hypocritical and try to be one thing when I'm another. I want to be just what I am. I want him to know. Of course, Ben knows anyway because we've had fellowship. But I want him to know, and I want the people to know. And when I come to preach, although this is one time, Brother Ben's opened his doors before. I could have come here before. But I didn't come because revelation showed it was to be now. And I moved by revelation. For many years, I've moved by revelation. Years ago, when I first started out as just a young fella, I was just moving by inspiration and by faith. And that's a wonderful thing because it's still God just as much as it is by revelation. There's only one difference. You move by inspiration and by faith, you're still moving by the revelation of Christ. Because the Bible said that the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. But the only thing is you don't know what God's doing. You're just going by faith and taking it by faith. But as you walk on with the Lord You do the very same thing. You don't change the order of God's will, but you begin to know and begin to understand, and it begins to be revelated to you what he's doing, where he's going, and then, of course, to me, I just love that kind of thing. It's like Paul when he went up and abode with Peter for so many days up there by revelation. He got a revelation. He knew what he was supposed to do. So there's a great thing taking place here tonight. Here we have a little group of people sitting here to worship God tonight, coming together. But this is not just another meeting. I can assure you that. It's not just another gathering together. Now, I'm just another man. As far as a man, I'm just another man. I'm a nobody. But now, this is not just another meeting. This is a very, very significant thing that's taking place tonight. A great, wonderful event. And Brother Ben, I know his place in Revelation and in the mind of God and what God's using him for. And that's why I didn't come until now. So I come here to just try to share with you what little I can and what little time that we have to share with you. But it is a wonderful occasion. It's a great, outstanding memorial event. And as we move, we're making spiritual history as these things begin to happen, as we begin to go on. Now I want to read from Revelation 10. I have for many years. I never mark anything in the Bible. I never have any notes. I never do. I just come up, I take my Bible, I open it up, and whatever he gives me, that's what I preach. I've done it for many years. I used to. I always had everything wrote down. I had the place I was supposed to go. I knew exactly what I was going to do when I got to the pulpit. And finally, when God began to make a change in my life, I got to where every time I'd go to preach, I'd have one thing marked, and I'd read it, and I'd wind up preaching something else. And so finally, God just spoke to my heart and told me that if I just go the way he wanted me to go, everything would be all right. So I said, Lord, if it's you and not me, Paul said, it's Christ that liveth and not me, and the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. I said, well, you just do it, and I'll just forget about it. So that's what I done. Now, I don't mean to be foolish. The Bible said, study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe that we ought to study all the time and pray all the time and be with God and meditate in his laws day and night. But I don't believe we ought to always be planning things, because if we do, we take opportunity away from God to speak to his people. Whereas it's not you that speak, but the Bible said it's the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. So I believe that's the way that I understand it in my life. Now, I want to read from Revelation 10, and if I holler at you, forgive me, because I don't mean to do that, but that's the way preachers do sometimes. I usually just try to stick to teaching and instructing, but preachers do holler at you, and the Bible says they can lift up their voice like a trumpet to show the people of their sins, and by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. So we do holler at you sometimes. But now, I want to read just a little bit from the book of Revelation, Revelation 10, and I'll try my best not to hold you and weary you. If you'll just try to stay with me and give me a little time here, I'll try not to weary you. And I try to watch the people as long as their spirits are feeding. I try to talk with them. And then when they stop, then I try to stop. God's a reasonable God, and I know that a lot of times we get carnal-minded, and to be carnal-minded is enmity with God, whereas the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. We get carnal-minded, and we interfere with the things of God, and therefore a lot of times we don't get the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Now, I can indoctrinate you. I can indoctrinate you. That's what preachers are for, is to indoctrinate you. Paul said, if I come to you speaking to you, I have to speak to you either by doctrine or revelation, or I don't profit you nothing. Some ministers preach doctrine, and I believe in doctrine. I believe a man that won't preach doctrine, I believe he's of the devil. That's pretty strong. I heard people say, well, I just don't preach any kind of doctrine. Well, I believe it's of the devil to start with. Now, I believe, the Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? So I believe in doctrine. Unless I speak to you by doctrine or revelation, then I haven't profited you anything. So some men try to indoctrinate you with doctrine, and I preach doctrine myself. There's times where I preach doctrine. I feel like that's what it is. I let the Holy Spirit bring it forth as he will. And then there's time I speak by revelation. And the only way that a man can speak by revelation is for people to draw revelation. Whatever the need is in the heart, God knows it, and they draw it accordingly. Now, you people here, I know that you have to do with revelation because Brother Ben preaches revelation. And I know you folks believe in revelation. And I know that Ben doesn't just believe in past revelation, but he believes in something brand new off the presses of God. whereas to get our manna fresh from heaven every day. I made a statement not too long ago, and I'll tell you what, they nailed me to the carpet, but I still make it. I made a statement, I said, I'll tell you what, I said that the things concerning Brother Branham has got wormy, and they nailed me to the carpet. And boy, I'll tell you, I might have not been popular before that, but I got popular quick. Because all over the country, they talked about that Brother Pike that said Brother Branham's message was wormy. And they just spreaded it good and thick. But I want you to know that I repeat tonight the very same thing. God said one time to Jacob, said, I will help thee, thou worm Jacob. And God refers to a man as a worm. And when a man gets his own understanding and intellectual reasoning into the Word of God, it's become wormy. And the bread that came down from heaven over there in that day, it was real bread of God, and it was God feeding the people, and it was holy bread. It was manna that came down from heaven, and God had sent it, and Jesus said, I gave you that bread. It was holy bread, but it got wormy. And I say this, that any time that you take Brother Pike's message or Brother Branham's message or Brother Allen's message or anybody else's message, and you let the anointing of God lift off of it, and then you get your, as the world calls it, your two bits in, and you get your carnal reasoning into it, it's done got wormy, you might as well to get away from it. Because it'll never work. It takes the anointing of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the message. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God, and there was nothing wrong with that bread from heaven. But the only thing is, the worms got into it. That's where the wrong was. And when God said, thou worm Jacob, I'll help thee, then it makes us to know that man is a worm. And Josephus used the terms concerning hail, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now, I have my own convictions about things, and I relate some of them here and there because this is my conviction. We have a lot of disputes through the land, and people have a dispute as to whether hail is eternal. And they've got Brother Branham's books to where they can quote them and go to every jot, tittle, every line, everything, done it just exactly like they did in the days of Moses. When Moses came and God gave them a message, they cataloged it and put it down and fixed it every jot and tittle and turned it into a law and made it such a binding thing they drove the Holy Spirit away and the worms got into it. And then when God got ready to use it, he couldn't use it. Is that right? So then they have a feuding about hell being eternal. Some say hell is not eternal. Some say hell is eternal. Now, I believe that hell is not eternal. I believe that. I don't believe that because Brother Branham said it. I believe it because I read in the Bible where death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the age. To me, that means the end of hell. But I do not believe. Now, there are some that believe there'll be no fire, that'll be the end of it. I don't believe that. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, it says everlasting flames. And I know that you can take those things and you can speak away forever and turn it into aeon of times and go back to the Greek and say Jonah was in the belly of the whale forever when he was only down there 2 or 3 days. I understand those things. Going back in the Greek, I understand those things. Now, and I know that you can speak it away. But brother, sister, let me tell you something. The Bible said eternal flames. Eternal flames. It doesn't say everlasting flames. It says eternal flames. And when the Bible said eternal, if we're going to speak away the word eternal, then we might as well forget about eternal life. If eternal don't mean eternal flames, then it doesn't mean eternal life. So then we've got to take the word of God. It's, again, I say this, like some of them said that Brother Branham said, stay with the tapes. I've heard them say that so many times. Said Brother Branham said, stay with the tapes. Stay with the tapes. I never read that. I never heard that. Brother Branham said, stay with the word. I said, stay with the word. God said, stay with the word. Paul said, preach the word. That's the way it's supposed to be. Brother Branham said, quit splicing those tapes together, making something out of it that I didn't say, and say what the tapes say. That's what he said. To keep down just exactly what they've not kept down. That's what he was trying to do, is to stop them from doing the very thing that they're still doing. So then, I feel that we ought to rally, get up, be about our Father's business, And these people that are doing that thing, instead of getting like the Jews did, afraid they'll kick us out of the synagogue because we stand up for the truth, get a backbone like a saw log, and go to them fellas and set them fellas down and bring the word of God and take the Ark of the Covenant back away from those evil carnal minds like they did the Philistine people and get it back to where it belongs instead of being a bunch of babies and letting them keep you under bondage. Some of these places that they're pastoring, I'd send them over there, little old bitty toddlers in the Lord. Whereas God told them, Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. But he said, also feed my lambs. And I'd send them over there. And why they wouldn't hardly get to the door to say, you believe Malachi 4 and 5. Why the people didn't even know there was a Malachi 4 and 5. So we excommunicate you. Same thing the Pentecostals did. If you don't speak in tongues, we excommunicate you. Same old grind. And so them little old babies that don't even know there's a Malachi in the Bible say, excommunicate you. So they've gone on. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Try to help them. Try to lead them. But I'll tell you something, and I'll tell you what, if this don't happen, it'll give you a good chance to brand me a false prophet. And I hope you got backbone enough to come pin it on my back. But brother, there's a change here now. I tell you that the very fact that we're at Ben's church tonight is part of the revelation that shows a change. The same revelation that showed me that Brother Branham would be dead when I spoke of it in the early part of back there of 65 and predicted his death. The same thing that showed me that A.A. Allen would die when I said his death is near at hand. The same thing that showed me that Armstrong's ministry was over and Billy Graham's ministry was over and the others and that Oral Roberts would fall away in his old age shows me that there is a change to take place at this time. And I made the statement not too long ago. I said some of the great leaders that has caused the confusion among the Brother Branham's followers, I said they'll begin to die out and go out and fold up and all kinds of things will begin to happen to them. And brother, it has. It has. I spoke of one that I don't want to call anybody's name here, but I spoke of one not too long ago. I went to him. And immediately after I went to him, he was just one of the outstanding ones that kept pushing and causing trouble. And God revealed to me that he's causing the problem. And yet he was preeminent among them and had them to believe that Brother Branham was right in there with him. And I went to him and I told him. And it wasn't but a few days before he got mixed up with a woman. After all those years, he got mixed up with a woman and left his wife and run off. And now he's in a terrible mess and everybody sees it. Not only that, but there's been a number of others that we've been to that things, terrible things has happened to. And so then God is making a great move. Something is happening. And I just saw one just the other day that one is one of the great outstanding men that's in the move. But something's fixing to happen. I'm not going to call his name here. I've already spoke to some of them confidentially about it so that they'll know when it happens that it was God. If it's the Spirit, if it happens, if I say it and it happens, it's got to be the Spirit of truth. There's only one Spirit of truth. And if I say it and it happens, it's got to be the Spirit of truth. Now, I thank the Lord tonight for this opportunity, and I just wanted to talk with you a few minutes and try to express to you what I am, how I feel about it, and what I think about different things, so that nobody, if somebody comes to you and says, well, Brother Pike, so-and-so, says, well, I know exactly what he is, how he thinks, because he's already told me. So that way there won't be any confusion about it. The Bible said that is made manifest as light. Is that right? So I make manifest what I am, what I stand for. That way, if you want to fellowship me on those bases, love me on those bases, I love you. If you don't, I still love you. All right? Let's read just a little bit together. Reading from chapter 10 of the book of Revelation. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people, and nations, and tongues, and kings. All right, now that's reading the whole chapter there. I want to back up just a little bit here, if we can, and take a thought from this. Now, the terms a lot of times is used, Revelation 10, the mighty angel. But if you'll notice that in the teachings of John, that it wasn't just Revelation 10, the mighty angel, but the Bible speaks each one of those angels as they came down, it called them a mighty angel. And so then this was one of the mighty angels that Revelation speaks of. But there's something that if you'll notice, going back to the first part of the book of John. Now, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he told me a long time ago, he said, I'm going to bring forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I've never even considered what John had said in the first part of this book. I read it many times. I went back, the Lord said, go back and check it. I went back in chapter 1, and I noticed that the thing that was stated, it said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And of course, here in Revelation 10, we find him talking to his servant John. We find him here as God begins to communicate with John, and we see him talking to John. And we can tell here as he is talking with John that something is taking place that is so outstanding until John is desirous to put it down in a book. Whereas the Bible said, write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. I go along with Brother Ben on those things. I believe that we ought to write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. If there is something revealed to us, then it belongs to us. It belongs to us. A lot of times we say, well, that brother doesn't have a revelation. The revelation belongs to God. I know that it's not our revelation. It's not Brother Pike's revelation. It's not Brother Branham's revelation. But the Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. Now, I might have a revelation, and you might have a revelation, in that the Bible said that we know in part. And I know that you've learned something, and I've learned something. And I know that we know in part. That's a revelation. God has revealed something to us. Now, I understand that, but the Bible said that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. The Baptists had a part. The Methodists had a part. Others have had a part down through the years, but they didn't see eye to eye. They didn't speak the same thing. They didn't walk hand in hand. That was positive proof that it wasn't perfect. For the body that's coming forth, that God's going to bring forth, they will see eye to eye. They will walk hand in hand. They won't break length. And the Bible said there'll be a great and a mighty army. Is that right? Before them it shall be as the land of Eden, and back of them it shall be a barren wilderness. That is to say that everybody that rejects the message, God will just close them down, shut them up. Like he sent me over to Chicago one time. I went there to a great big place in Chicago, and the Lord showed me that it was going to be shut down. I mean, it was a tremendous place. Now, a couple of balconies or something in it, a great, huge theater building, a tremendous thing. And God showed me he was going to shut it down. He closed it down. Sent me to another place over in Arkansas, showed me he was going to close it down. He closed it down. Sent me to a place over in the Carolinas, showed me he was going to close it down. He closed it down. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. A lot of people don't believe in a new thing. But the Bible said that I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. And the Bible said that my mercies are new every day. Every day God does a new thing. His mercies are new every day. And so then God is doing a new thing. And here we are, privileged people, to be here and see the new thing take place. I asked the Lord not too long ago. I said, why is it that you don't just move on out with this thing? That was the meditation of my heart. And God said to me, said, no man having drank old wine will straightway say that the new wine is better. Said he's got to sip on it a little bit. Got to develop a taste for it. And so then when God does a new thing, then they're not just going to change over from the old thing because they like the old wine. But if you'll give them a little time, God will do something. Now I know that when you start doing something new, I know this one thing, that all of a sudden you'll find people that's going to bust on you. I know that. They're going to crack and they're going to pop and you're going to see them rin right down the middle. That's right. Because they get old, and the Bible said that the elders died in the wilderness. And that don't mean, it's not speaking about people that's got a little age on them. God doesn't have any age limit. A lot of times we think about the elders, we think about somebody being over 16, you know. But I'm not speaking about that. But the elders died in the wilderness. Is that right? They died in the wilderness because they mumble and they grumble against Moses and against the leadership that God raised up, and God left them to die in a wilderness. As a consequence of all of our mumbling and grumbling, whereas the Bible said, do all things without murmuring, as a consequence of our murmuring, we only wind up in the fire. That's all we ever do. We just cause our own selves trouble. But God said, I will do a new thing. And you can't put new wine into old bottles. Somebody said here a while back, said, well, what do you think, Brother Pipes? Did you say that the revelation of Jesus Christ is coming forth? Said, what are you going to do? You going to get Brother Branham's followers? I said, it's impossible. I couldn't no more get Brother Branham's followers than Wesley got Luther's followers. Because every person that follows the leader will be judged according to that message of that age. And God isn't going to change them. You can't do that. Moses' followers died in the wilderness with him. Joshua never came along and took Moses' followers. You can't find that. Somebody said, well, when Moses died, Joshua picked them up and took them in. He never done that. There's no record of that. When you try to do that, you know what you do? The same thing that Reuben did when he went over there and took up time with Bilhah when he lay with his dad's own concubine. The Bible teaches, cursed is the man that goeth in unto his father's wife. Is that right? That belongs to Brother Branham. That belonged to Luther. That belonged to Wesley. And that was their companion in life, spiritual companion, to bring forth children. But now, when children grow up, they got a right to get married. I said, when they grow up, they got a right to get married. Is that right? And so then God, according to the record, took Joshua and took the children and took them on into Canaan land. Is that right? That's what he did. The elders died in the wilderness, but Joshua took them children, picked them up, and took them on in, because you can't put new wine in old bottles. You can't do it. The bottle will crack. You've got to have new bottles for new wine. And I'll tell you, believe it or not, while these others creak and crack and pop and go on, God is raising up a generation, and God is taking them in. Look at the bunch of hippies that we got across the world. Look at the young girls and look at the young men. I don't care what society say. I don't care what the laws of the land say. I don't care what others say. They're going to do what they want to do. Is that right? They're going to get on dope. They're going to frolic. They're going to curse mom and daddy. The Bible said a weak and a sinful, adulterous generation that'll curse mother and daddy, and God will burn them with fire in the last stage. Is that right? Because they're so ungodly. A ruthless, an adulterous, sinful generation. Is that right? God is doing a new thing. You can't make those hippies do the way you want to. We don't want to wear the beard, but they're going to wear it. I said in Revelation it would come back. I spoke of it. I said the beard will come back. I said not only that, but the long dresses will come back. And though they fight it and they war against it and people say things against it, but it will come back. It'll be popular to wear the long dresses. It's already getting that way all around the country. Because God always has a repeat of history. Always the old past has to come back. And because of the teachings of God and the revelation of Christ, it shows that there'll be a great cycle and the beards will come back. It shows there'll be a great cycle and the long dresses will come back. And you can't stop them They're coming because God has ordained that it be that way. There is nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. Now, but I see things differently. I see things in a different way. Therefore, I'm responsible to God to walk according to what I understand. You're responsible to God to walk with God according to what you understand. I'm not to war with you. I'm not looking for fault with you. I'm looking for the will of God, as Brother George said, for my life. I'm seeking God for my life. And I have found a whole diamond mine of good things in God. I found the pearl of great price. I found the great riches, the treasures that Paul spoke of. I found them. I've got them in my heart. As Paul said, much revelation. Much revelation. Abundance of revelation from heaven. Somebody said, well, a lot of folks got abundance of things. I didn't say abundance of things. I said abundance of revelation. Somebody would say, well, a lot of people got revelation. But I'm speaking of revelation from God. God-given revelation. Revelation that I proved. It's proved. The Bible said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. I proved. I know that it's God. I know that it's right. If you never accepted it, I know that it's right. I've done proved it. I put it to the test. I didn't just jump up overnight and pick up something. I've traveled across the United States. I've talked all night long to the great leaders across the nation and out of the nation. I've talked with the very top men, including Brother Branham. I've talked with those men, and I know for sure what they believe, and I know what they stand for. And that's why it don't move me when I hear all of this kind of thing. The Bible said not to know a man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you look on my outer person, then you'll miss it. If I look on your outer person, then I'll miss it. Because that old man is supposed to be dead and buried in the name of the Lord, and it's not you that's living, but it's Christ. And so then, if I'm to have fellowship with you, we've got to come together on the basis of the Spirit. Is that right? Now, I can never come together with you on the basis of understanding. There is no way. You say, Brother Pike, if we're going to see eye to eye, speak the same thing, why can't we do it? Because there's babies in the Lord. My little Joseph doesn't know what my David does, though he feels like he does. My David doesn't know what my George Jr. knows, though he feels like he does. George Jr. doesn't know what I know, because the Bible said wisdom is with the ancient. Had a lot of experience. But he thinks he does. Now, if I try to form a family, if I try to form a fellowship, if I try to come together on the basis of those things, I would never have a family. We would just split wide open. We'd be at each other's throats, and we'd never get along. Is that right? But God has ordained powers and authorities that we might be able to have divine leadership. Oh, I know they go about this thing and they say there's no more this and there's no more that. And we don't have no more apostles. We don't have no more prophets. And we don't have no more evangelists. We don't have no more this and no more that. This ain't nothing no more. Oh, you might as well quit. Eat, drink, be merry. Solomon said, tomorrow you're going to die anyway. Why worry about it? Now, there ain't nothing else to do. Is quit. But why are we building a church if there's nothing else? Why are we trying to preach and write, do all these things and get the people together if there's nothing else? We've got a divided kingdom when we do that. We don't even know where we're going. The blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. The Bible said the great whore is the great ditch. So then, what we need to do is to realize that there is something else. That God is brand new. God isn't dead. There are still apostles. There are still prophets. There are still evangelists and teachers and pastors in the world today. So I say, well, I believe in pastors. Well, why do you believe in pastors? Just part of the fivefold ministry. If you don't believe in the rest of it, no need to believe in the pastor. The same word that said pastor said evangelist. And the same word that said evangelists, said apostles. Same one that said that, said prophets. Somebody said, well, Brother Branham was the only prophet, the last of the prophets. Where'd you ever read that in the Bible? Who ever told you that? Somebody said, well, Brother Branham said it. No, Brother Branham didn't. That's not true. Brother Branham said on one occasion, he said, I'll show you the fivefold ministry. He said, I'll show you where God put them in there. You show me where God took them out. That's what Brother Branham said. Amen. Brother God set him in the church and he's still in the church. God's got men of God today. And I'll tell you what, they're great men of God. I made the statement not too long ago. I was over in Mississippi. I kept thumbing around. Sometimes I get up in the morning, Brother Ben, not eating this thing, you know, just not going to fast. But I do like Peter. The Bible said that you was hungry. He would have eaten. While they made ready, he fell in a trance. That's the way I am. I get up in the morning. I sat down. A lot of times God will show me a vision or something. And I remember one morning I was thumbing around with a pencil. I just kind of nervous like sitting there, you know. And all of a sudden God began to speak to me. And I said, Lord, I said, what are we? What are we, God? What are we, God? And then I kept thumbing around. After a while I looked at the pencil and said, Superman. And I tell you, I just about shouted. I said, praise God, that's what we are. I said, we're not just men, we're Superman. Hallelujah. We're far beyond men. Lord of God, you're not a man, you're a God. I've heard people say, well, I ain't following no man. I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. Amen. I wouldn't either. Hallelujah. They say, what are you going to follow? Gods. The Bible said, you're not men, you're gods. Jesus said, you're gods. And I'll tell you what. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. I don't mind following a God man. He'll never lead you wrong. I don't mind following the Son of God. He isn't going to lead you wrong. And I'll tell you this. God has got powers. He's got authorities. He's got generals. He's got different ranks in the service. And we might as well get used to it. This thing about everybody being the same and everybody's going to get the same is absolutely not the Word. You can't show that in the Word. These boys that's run off and done that and set up these other things over yonder, they did that to eliminate a lot of them, the little novices in the gospel that don't know nothing, and they did that to eliminate leadership that they themselves might take the preeminence, and God isn't satisfied with it. Little old bitty novice that jumped up in the pulpit and got men of God sitting on the benches while they stand up there and dilly-dally around, the men of God sits on the bench. And some of them little fellas holler, ain't no more. Brother Branham said, ain't no more, ain't no more, ain't no more. They'll get in your pulpit and they'll hop, skip, jump, turn, cartwheels and everything else, so to speak, ain't no more, ain't no more. And they don't even know their spiritual ABCs. Tear your church all to pieces and tear you all to pieces and scramble everything up. And when they get through, it's like a pot of scrambled eggs. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what it is? God's got ordination. All right, now let's look at it. The Bible said prove all things. Is that right? Let's prove it. If we can't prove it by Scripture, we don't want it. If you get a revelation, if it don't fall on the foundation, then we don't need it. Paul said other foundations can no man lay. If it's the foundation of God, then the stone that comes down must fit the foundation. Otherwise, it's not anything from God. Is that right? All right, let's examine it for a minute and see if it's right. Somebody said, there's nothing anymore. Nothing anymore. I mean, it's all gone. There's nothing anymore. In other words, you don't have any more authorities. You don't have any more dignitaries. Whereas the Bible said, these speak evil of dignitaries, being vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, don't know what they ought to know. Think they know something they don't know nothing. Having seen a vain vision, is that right? Running as one that beateth the air, don't know what they're doing, don't know nothing about it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you think that they understand? They understand what they want to understand. That's right. They understand what they want to understand. Now, you say, well, I believe these fellows have been fasting and praying. Now, that ain't going to get it. Fasting and praying ain't going to get it. Somebody said, all you got to do is go fast. That ain't going to get it. I don't care how long you fast. We've got men fast 50 days, 70 days. We got some that say they fasted 100 days. That isn't going to do it. People like those fellows over yonder in the foreign countries for those gods, heathen gods do that. That don't get it. Staying away, praying and praying and praying. That don't do it. That don't do it. Somebody say, well, wait just a minute, Brother Pike. The Bible said this kind come about by prayer and fasting. I know it. I know that. And I say, this won't do it. Now, let's just look at it a minute and see if that's right. It doesn't matter how much you fast. Peter had been fasting. John, the others been fasting. Why didn't they get the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why didn't Peter, who was entrusted with the keys to the kingdom, that literally unlocked the door both to the Gentiles and the Jew, why didn't God give him the revelation of Jesus Christ? Somebody said, well, God did. Well, then why is it Paul used the terms over there that as God committed the gospel unto Peter for the Jews, so had he committed it unto him or Paul there for the Gentiles? Why has he said that I am the apostle to the church? I magnify my office. Somebody would sit down, well, look at here, Paul, let me tell you something. Don't you know that Peter's over here with the keys? Somebody speaking of Brother Brown, don't you know that Brother Brown had the message? I certainly do. Don't you believe that Peter's got the keys over yonder? I certainly do. But that ain't got nothing to do with what God told me to do. That doesn't have anything to do with what God told me to do. Paul said, God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that right? He did give it to him too. Can you deny it? Paul said, I'm like one born out of season. Can't really put it into effect right now. But over there, we'll let Brother Ben preach it. Over in Brother Ben's day, he can preach it. Hallelujah. Brother Ben can preach it. There'll come a day when you can preach it. But right now, it's kind of out of season. Hallelujah. Like one born out of season. Now, I say, there's no more leadership. There ain't no more leadership. All right, let's look and see. Now then, have you ever heard of an army without a general? Have you ever heard of an army without a sergeant? God said, I will bring forth my mighty army. Isn't that something? He's going to bring forth the army and every one of them's a captain. I mean, he ain't got no colonels. Every one of them's a general. Don't have anything but generals. Oh, come on, you know that's not right. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, God isn't going to have anything but just one big group of people. He's going to be the head of it. That'll be some more government, won't it? I mean, nobody knows anything. Jesus is the only one that knows anything. I said, now we got Jesus. He's the only one that knows anything. Ain't going to have nobody else. The subjects don't know nothing. God ain't got a bunch of ignoramuses. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. God has got dignitaries. Somebody say, well, can you show me powers and authorities? I sure can. Go to Revelation 19 and 20, and when you get over there, you'll find that the Bible said that when the Lord came back from heaven with the great army, as he came back, he looked, John, speaking of John, he looked, and the Bible said that he saw thrones, and they that sat upon the thrones, there was given unto them power and authority. Is that right? I saw thrones and power and authority was given unto them that sat thereon. Is that right? How many understand what I'm saying? What was it? It was those 12 apostles that was to sit on the throne during the millennium. That's what it was. You say, where do you get that? They said, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. He said, what are we going to get out of this? He said, in the day that I sit upon my throne, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All right, now, where's our dignitaries? Where's our dignitaries? Brother, let me tell you something. There's some kings in the earth today. I said, there's some kings in the earth today. When old Elisha come back from across Jordan, you know what they did? They fell on their face before him. Now, they didn't fall on their face until after Elijah was gone, until he got the mantle, because they recognized him as just a man. But according to the Bible, when he came back across Jordan, immediately they fell on their face because the mantle had come back to him, and they knew the power of God was there, and that was Christ. And Paul said, they glorified Christ within me. The Bible said, let another man's lips praise you. And they began to praise Elijah. Paul said, in a good thing, I praise you. Well, we're afraid we'll lift the man up too much. We'll do this and we'll do that. Brother, let me tell you, anything that you could say about the sons of God, anything that you could say about bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh is too little. I said it's too little. Everything that you could say tonight would be too little to what you ought to say. Amen. Somebody say, prove it by the Bible, all right? Let's prove it by the Bible. When old John the Baptist come out of the wilderness over there, Jesus was going to be a platform man for him. Is that right? Somebody said, where do you get that? Somebody said, here comes John the prophet. He said, prophet. Prophet! Jesus said, you call him a prophet. That is more than a prophet. I say unto you, there ain't none greater than John. Take Moses, take all of you. You're talking about an introduction, a platform man that knows how to introduce a real man of God. Jesus said, you call him a prophet? Old Miriam come over there and she began to chide around over there about Moses and say, well, we're so and so, and I'm a prophetess and so on. And Aaron, he was chiding around. Moses thinks he's the only prophet. The Lord said, come over here to 10. I want to have a conversation with you folks. He got over there. He said, I want to introduce to you a prophet. More than a prophet. He said, let me tell you something. He said, if there's a prophet among you, I'll reveal myself unto him by dreams and visions. But not like my servant Moses, who's faithful in all of his house, that I'll speak unto him face to face. I said, wasn't you afraid to speak against him? Well, you're talking about an introduction, and he really gave them. The angels come down to old Gideon over there, and here's old Gideon. He's all cast down and tore down, don't know what to do. Frustrated and everything, gone over there. Here he is, just a nothing and a nobody. He's standing over there. All of a sudden, here comes the angels down. Hallelujah. And old Gideon, he's just frustrated. He don't know what to do. And the angels just stood back over there, just standing there looking at him. Think about that. Angels are greater in power and might than man, standing there looking at Gideon. And it very little doubt in my mind if Gabriel was there. I don't know who was standing there. He might have nudged one. Gabriel might have nudged the other one, you know, Michael. And said, look at him. Said, ain't that a beautiful thing? Ain't that a beautiful thing? Said, look at him. Old Gideon, he's in despair, and he's trying to figure out here just how to get a few beans together. And the angel looking at him over there, just admiring him, thinking, my, look at that, a son of God. A son of God. And he was admiring him. Walked up to him and he said, oh, the mighty man of valor. Gideon, he looked at him, you know. He thought, what's going on here? Here I am, I ain't got no peas to cook. And you're talking about mighty man of valor. See, but that angel was looking beyond that. Hallelujah. He was looking at the power of God in that man's life. Faith. Faith. My brother, tonight you got the power of faith in your life. Amen. Angels can't do what you can do. You got the power of faith tonight. You're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh tonight. Somebody say, going to raise them up too high. Jesus said, every one that overcomes will sit down in the throne with me and my Father. Amen. Somebody said, the thrones must be a mighty big place. It is. Jesus said, heaven is my throne. Got a lot of room up there. Every one that overcomes can sit down in the throne with my Father. All things are yours, whether life, whether death, whether things to come, whatever it is. He said, it all belongs to you. And you belong to God. Don't cut yourself short. Like somebody said you all back, said, Brother Pike's a prophet. 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 Somebody said, a prophet. Somebody said, I think he's overdoing it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, Brother Branham's a prophet. I think you esteem him too high, just like anybody else. Prophet. A prophet. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible said concerning John the Baptist, there was none greater. Moses wasn't any greater. Abraham wasn't any greater. Elijah wasn't any greater. He said, there's none greater than John. But he said, now, notwithstanding, he that is the very least of the membership of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh has been translated in the kingdom of God, even the very least one's greater than John. Somebody said, you think you're Elijah? Don't discredit the sons of God. I said, don't discredit the sons of God. Somebody say, you mean you're greater than Elijah? There's a greater than Solomon here. What it is, somebody said, I'm afraid we're going to overdo it. Give too much credit. No, don't worry about that. Just worry about underdoing it. Worry about underdoing it. The Bible said, you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's right. You can say, God bless you, brother, being your man of God. We're behind you. Get out there and go, brother. We'll stand with you. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you wait, man. We're taking too fast. Let me get this up here. I got to run it to his brother James. You say, I got to get through my computer here. I got to get everything computerized. Well, that's all you got to do because the mark of the beast is coming. I made a statement not too long ago. It'd come up in the computer system and work through the Social Security number. I said that here a long time back. And already on the chewing gum packs, get it. They got your little computer number. By your cereal, they got your computer number. Got everything coming where they can run it up in the number system because, see, it's right at hand. So you just run it through your computer. Lean to your own understanding, and after a while, you'll be computerized right in with the rest of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is it? There's something that's coming. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I'm just exhorting you tonight. Just talking to you with a little exhortation tonight. Just trying to be friendly. But brothers, sisters, I won't stop here in just a few minutes now. There's something that's in the makings. It is so beautiful. It is so unbelievable. But there's one thing about it. Everybody won't get it. Everybody won't get it, Brother Dover. It's going to take those that are in Christ. I'm going to say this. I'm trying to find a place to close here. I want to say this. Everybody is not going to come into this. Jesus said, few there be that find it. Fear not, little flock, for it is thy Father's pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. Everybody won't come down this trail. The eyes of the vultures never seen this. You know, you got some vultures flying around. You got some eagles flying around. But the Bible said this is a straight way. The eyes of the vulture never got a hope of this. Now, they saw some old dead carrion out there and some old carcasses laying along out there that they could chew on. But you got to have an eagle eye to see this. The eye of the vulture has never seen this. Though a man be a wayfaring fool, he never run across this pass. He might have staggered into a bar room. He might have erred into, I had one to err into my living room one day. He might have run across your flower garden. But though a man be a wayfaring fool in all of his error, in all of his frolic, he'll never run across this path, Jesus said. It's the highway of holiness. It's a clean, good, holy work, righteous work, cut short because it's righteous. That's what makes it short. I believe with all of my heart that you're living right at the end of the trail. I think every one of you would agree to that. And tonight, if your eyes are not open to the revelation of Jesus Christ, then you need to get it open. I remember here a while back, I made a prediction. I'm going to say this to bring out a thought here in closing. I made a prediction. I said, at this time, I said, Brother Branham's wife and Billy Paul will come out of the Arizona desert. I said, they'll leave. I said, Revelation shows they'll leave, and they'll go back to Jeffersonville, Indiana. I said, when they go back, the spoken word will go out. I said, it'll be on its way out then. I said, now they'll continue on with what they're doing, but there'll be a change. I said, it will change from the spoken word and what they call the message. They refer to that as a message. And it will change from that to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I said, now watch and see if it happens. I said, they'll go back to Jeffersonville, Indiana. And I made the statement. I don't have time to get into Revelation tonight because I didn't keep you a long time. But I made a statement. I said, Brother Branham, two wives, two sons. And I said, one of them, being Billy Paul, is the bonds child in the type. I know Billy's a Christian. I know he loves the Lord. God uses you in the work of the Lord. I said, he represents the bonds child. I said, that's the Baptist wife under the Trinitarian bondage. I said, that's it. Over in the veil, which is Trinity. I said, that's the bonds child. I said, and God showed me that Billy Paul would be the successor of Brother Branham. Because when God showed me that, I couldn't get it. I said, Lord, I can't get it. I can't see how that'll be. Billy says he's not a preacher. I said, he could never be. But the Lord showed me that he would be, and he did. He come in, and they put him on the charter. He took over his daddy's work. Same name to keep that name, Brother Branham. All right, listen, just for a few minutes. I'm really going to close. I said, that's the bonds child. Now, I said, when they get back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, I said, that will be over. I said, that will be over. I said, and the other son, which is Joseph, which is the son of the free woman, the Pentecostal woman, Midas child. I said, then this thing concerning Joseph will come into effect. I said, this does not mean that God is going to raise up Joseph and make a great prophet out of him like they say that he is. I said, that's not going to be. I said, you watch and see. That was years ago. I said, just watch and see. Now, I said, but there is a Joseph move that will come forth. That will be, now listen, differentiating between the two. And I just wish we had 2 or 3 hours tonight. But differentiating between the two. Joseph, Billy Paul, the bonds child, the free child. I said, differentiating between these two. Billy Paul is numbered with the spoken word and with a Trinitarian move, inasmuch as Brother Branham was a Baptist preacher, had a Baptist wife, and brought forth a child typical of a Baptist son. Now, just like John the Baptist being the forerunner, and the voice said to Brother Branham, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so shall ye take the message for the second. Here was Billy Paul. I said, he'll go back. I said, and then when he goes back, I said, it'll be over. He came back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, Brother Ben, right on time, just exactly. When he came back to Jeff, I said, Billy will move back. I said, the wife will move back. And I said, then after that they move back, I said, that will be the end of the spoken word. I said, that will have be the end of it as far as what God's doing with it, as far as the move, and a new move will be raised up. So then they moved back, just exactly like we said. They moved back. When they got back to Jeffersonville, Indiana, immediately they run into trouble. The government began to give them trouble. Brother Borders began to have trouble trying to have enough finance. Brother Borders, all of a sudden, they found a hole in his heart. He had to have surgery. I said, now it's end of the change. I said, Billy has gone back, like we said. The wife has gone back, just exactly like we said. I said, they've gone back just like we said they would do, and now it will make the change. Never before have they ever at any time published a book like they published. All of a sudden, they published a book. It did not say anything at all about the spoken word. It said the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the way that they got it, Brother Branham had preached the series of messages on the book of Revelation. And God chose at that particular time to show the changeover. He chose to put it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just as soon as it introduced the last move of it, it went right back to the spoken word. Now, what was it? I said, that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. What did they do? Joseph, 17 years old, the Bible said he went to look for his brethren. When Joseph got 17, they took him over and put him working the spoken word. What did they do? They put him on the folder. That's exactly what they did. Took him on there. Now, what is it? God had a bond son. And that, typically speaking, and that bond son was numbered with the Trinity Church. As long as Brother Branham was in this world, he preached with the Trinity people, in and out among the Trinity people. When Brother Branham came to this world, he came from a Catholic father. Is that right? His dad was Catholic. He was numbered with the Trinitarian side of it, just like Moses. God said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Is that right? And the veil. When the Lord called him up and said, son, would you love to see beyond the veil? He said, come on, Moses, and I'll let you see over in the kingdom, man. You'll never go over there, but I'll let you take a look. I'll let you take a look. Somebody say, you mean to tell me you don't believe that Brother Branham had the revelation? Do you believe that Moses had it? Sure, he had it. He had it in a veil. But when he gave it to them down there on the earth, they only had the types and shadows. I said, they only had the books. They only had the printed page. They still had it in that intellectual carnal veil, that glass darkly that you see the types and shadows through as you try to comprehend the greatness of God. Eyes of understanding being enlightened that you might comprehend the heights, depths, and the width of what God's doing. Is that right? When Billy Paul came back, it represented that it was over. Why? Because God had to take, when that man finished his ministry, put somebody like Billy Paul over it and bring the rich and the wealthy and all that was supported in around it to publish that word and to get the full benefit of it, to send it across the world. He had to do that, just like he did the Old Testament. And God never runs into anything. He just waits until he finishes one cycle and then the next cycle comes up. So then the next one started. What was it? There was a group of people that followed Brother William Branham as a man, which was the veil. That's what it was. They were typical of the bond son, and all they knew was to quote passages from Brother Branham's book because they didn't have the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to give anything else. Somebody said, they said they ain't nothing new. They ain't nothing new to them. They can't get nothing new. They're numbered with that. Moses' followers couldn't do it. They died. They died. But brother, that Joseph group was not following the man, Brother Branham. They was following that Holy Ghost message on the inside of it. And when time come to move and the Holy Spirit moved, them children moved right on in. They moved right on in. And they're still moving today. They're still moving today. A lot of people say, well, where's the pillar of fire for moving? All right. Where was the pillar of fire when Joshua took over? Show me the record of it. Show me the record of it. Where is it? When Joshua took over and the move of God started to get out of the wilderness into Canaan land, you'll admit God left them over there in the wilderness when Brother Branham died. Every one of them went out there in Tucson, Arizona. If I had time to break Revelation down tonight, I'll show you exactly how that was how that was a wilderness. He can show you exactly the change of it. As a matter of fact, there's about 100 tapes back home. It's got it on there precisely, step by step. It shows it exactly how he left them and what it's picked up and what everything took place. Now, what is it? Those that were new, those that were brand new, they went right on into Canaan. What is the Jordan? The carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death. What is the crossing of the Jordan? To get over into the Canaan land. What is that? The mind of Christ, the revelation. Them people never got over the carnal mind. I'll quote you scriptures such and such as in Malachi 4 and 5. Still carnally minded. Still carnally minded. Where's the revelation? They got the man's word, just like it did in the days of Moses. They got the law of the letter. But where is the spirit the man had? They don't manifest the love of God like they ought to. They out there in the world messing with the things of the world, doing things that Brother Bram never would do. If they're his children, why don't they have his spirit? Jesus said, you're not my children. You do what I tell you to do if you would. You'd have my nature. We're born of nature. All right, now. Yeah, are you understand what I'm saying? All right, now look. God said, Brother Branham, you can see beyond the veil. He saw the women with the long dresses on, didn't he? You know what he saw? The Lord let him see over in it. Why? Because he had to follow the life of Moses. But now, the pillar of fire, somebody said, where is it? If God is still there, if it's the same God, where is it? After they cross Jordan, you don't find the pillar of fire leading them, because the revelation of the Lord shows that God is a consuming fire by night, but he's a cloud of refreshing in the latter rain by day. Amen. And when they were in the wilderness, it was dark and dense, and God was fighting the wars and fighting against their enemy, and he went before them as a great pillar of fire. But when Joshua took over, and they got over in Canaan, the daylight come. Somebody said, where did he get that? Joshua didn't need the pillar of fire to lead him. He just looked up at the sun and said, you stay there till I get through with my business. Hallelujah. Said, moon, you stand still in the valley of Ajalon. Oh, Gideon said, son, stand still. I got a battle to fight. He just stayed there. This revelation. Let me say this right hurriedly. So many things I'd like to say. Well, listen, physically, speaking of a physical dimension now, natural, physical, spiritual, physical dimension. You know that in here there is a revelation. There is a light. There's an inspiration. It's like sun, the mind of Christ, the great light, the day star dawning with your heart. He comes up. Said, he that overcome, I'll give him the bright morning star. The day star dawning. He comes up. We see it come up. A great light. Isn't that right? It is a great light. And then we're so happy. We're walking in the daytime. But all of a sudden it goes down. We go back to sleep. How do we know that God records time from evening till morning? Is that right? Evening till morning, because ever since Adam fell from the garden, it's been night. Your light's out here in a world of night. Is that right? And so then the sun comes up, it goes back down. It always did that. You get an inspiration like a man going up an airplane and he comes back down and lands. But when Joshua come on the scene, the sun didn't come up and go down anymore. The mind of Christ was to come and stand there to see the beginning to the end of it. All of the shadows gone. Everything just as clear as noonday, seeing face to face. The mind of God, the sun wasn't to come up and go down anymore. You wasn't to get a revelation. You was to get the revelation of Jesus Christ, seeing face to face. Getting rid of the dark glass of the beast's carnality and the beast's mind that got overshadowed, that overshadowed the mind of God in the garden. Getting away from that, rending the veil of death, which is the old carnal mind. Differentiating between the Lord and the Christ. Tell him what's the difference. All right, I said I was going to close. I didn't mean to get started into Revelation here. I really didn't mean to do that. I just got started here and saying some things, Brother Ben, and the first thing you know, it got to coming out. Let me try to find just a closing thought or two here to where I don't mean to weary. I honestly didn't. But brethren, listen. There is a move that's in the land, and that move is Joseph move. And what is it? It's that move, that body, that membership that's got bread aplenty in the time of the famine. Is that right? What was it said to the Jews? It said, cut the tree down, let seven times pass over it. And then after that, said, leave the stump and let it grow again. Is that right? By the degree of the watch of the man of the Holy One. Is that right? Let it be cut down and let it grow back up. Is that right? Let seven times pass over. Let the tribulation period go over them Jews. And then let them come back up. Let the 7 years go. Let the seven church ages pass over the church. Cut it down at Pentecost. Let it come back up. Is that right? What is it? It was cut down. Brother Brown, 7 years. He said, this is food. He said, this is food. But the 7 years is gone. The seven times passed over it. Is that right? They got their new harvest after they crossed Jordan. Is that right? See, the corn, the new corn come after that they crossed over Jordan. Is that right? There's a lot could be said about that tonight. But crossing over the Jordan means that when we get over the intellectual letter of Malachi 4 and 5, get away from the law of Moses, going over the Jordan, get over death and conquering death as Jesus did at Calvary, coming up in a Pentecostal move of God where the Spirit comes back inside of us. I made this statement, and I want to make it here tonight. I said that Adam did not have eternal life. I said he didn't have it. I know I beat disputes on that. People say he did have it. He didn't have it. How in the world could Adam have had eternal life and died? That's what eternal life is you can't die. He was in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. And as long as he remained in the Shekinah, he could live on eternally. But that old beast began to pull at him through the weaker vessel. Pull at him, pulling at him through Eve to get him out from under the protecting powers of the Shekinah glory and lead him astray to bring the fall of mankind. Because that image, it was preordained to be an image of God for a temple of God to live in the body of the Almighty God, it become a body of a beast. And I said this a lot of times. People say, well, I believe that we're the image of God. And I've said this before. You mean God is fat, God's bald-headed, God's skinny, God's got a long nose, God's got a short nose. You know that's not God. The Bible said, as we have borne the image of the earth, which is the beast image. Paul said, within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Corruptible flesh, that the Lord made an image of the corruptible flesh and nailed it to Calvary to get me free from it. Is that right? Doing away with it. Is that right? As we have borne the image of the earthy, he said, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heaven not made with hand. Now, if this tabernacle go down, he said, I got another one. What is the other one? It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit, because the Spirit is heaven. I've got a body in the Spirit that's the body of the Lord Jesus if the soul image of the beast goes down. Is that right? I've borne the image of the earthy, but I'm going to bear the image of heaven. Somebody said, well, we are made in his likeness. No, no, you don't find it in the Bible. Now, what does it say? What does it say? Adam was made in his likeness. Is that right? Because he was in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Well, when he got out, the beast image took over, and the nature of the beast came in. Is that right? The old Adamic nature. Coming right on down. Now, what was it? I'm trying to show you the differentiation between the Lord and the Christ, Billy Paul and Joseph. The end time move of what God's doing. The law and grace. So then, what was the difference? Adam died being misled by the beast's mind. You'll agree to that. But brother, today, we are not in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Now, I know the days of grace is like the garden. I know everybody's in the presence of that Shekinah glory now. I know that in the sense of grace. I know that. But it ain't going to last. There's a grace unto salvation. There's a grace, dispensational grace. We're under the dispensational grace right now. You'll agree to that. Where everybody can do anything they want to. You kill your mother-in-law and come back and work a miracle. That's right. Why? Because you're under dispensational grace. Now, God don't see any of your wrongs. He's looking at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. But brother, when this dispensational grace is gone, that's going to be it. But the grace unto salvation that has appeared unto every man, teaching him denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that he should live soberly and righteously in this world, in this present world. Is that right? That is salvation grace. That is grace unto salvation. Everybody don't have that. Everybody's in the dispensational grace, but everybody don't have grace unto salvation. Is that right? So then we, as sons of God, we are not in the presence of the Shekinah, but we are born to the Shekinah glory of God. Jesus was begotten of God. Hallelujah. I'm not in the presence of it. I'm born of it. The beast mind could never leave me out from under it. It left Adam out from under it. But brother, I've got eternal life. I'm born of it. I can't never die. Somebody said, if you hold on, be faithful, you'll get it. No, sir, I held on at Calvary, and I was faithful through Jesus Christ, and I did get it. And I have passed from death unto life. And I have been translated into the kingdom of God. I've already been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. I'm praying, Father, thy will be done on earth, not in heaven. It's already done a prayer. But thy kingdom come, the law and the prophets of John. Now, God, let your kingdom be established here. The sons of God setting everything in order. the world travailing for him. Is that right? The Joseph move I'm speaking of. Is that right? Now, I speak unto you as wise men. That's why I'm condensing and just bringing a few thoughts here, not to make it a long, drawn-out thing. So then, I am born to the chicaner. For when the Lord breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, he became a living soul. But when Jesus took that second man, Adam, stood him around the Mount of Olivet, and breathed upon them, they never become a living soul. They become an eternal God, begotten of God. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that already you're in the kingdom of God? When you know that you got faults, can you find any of my faults? Can you find any of my faults? How can you do it? The Bible said no man can lay anything to your charge. You're God's elect. Peter said if you're God's elect, you're elect by foreknowledge. What he foreknew, is that right? Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, what are you? The Bible said you're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Why? Isn't that the kind of church God's coming back for? Is that right? Somebody said, God sent a fivefold minister down here to convert the world. Where'd you ever read that? Said he sent him here to perfect the saints of God. Somebody said, well, that means he's going to make them quit chewing tobacco and spitting and dipping snuff. That isn't what he's going to do. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You don't believe that's a filter of the flesh? I certainly do, but that's not the sin. The unbelief is sin. That thing where Adam and Eve disbelieved. So then what is he going to do? How's he going to perfect them? It's not taking them away from this. I made a statement. A lot of folks say, well, I ain't going to the dance hall no more. I'm sanctified. Amen. I ain't going to smoke no more. A lot of doctors do that. They got tired of dying with cancer. That don't mean nothing. Now, you believe we ought to go on doing those things? No. Paul said, God forbid. Well, clean up. And if you get the nature of a sheep, you'll eat like a sheep. You won't eat like a goat. You won't chew the rag. That's right. Now, you say, what do you mean? Here's what I'm speaking of. I believe in my heart that the fivefold ministry was not set here to beat, bang, hang, knock people down, drag people out, but to reveal the inheritance of the saints through the knowledge of Christ, that they might believe in the finished works of Calvary and what God did for them. That Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. That's the perfecting of the church. Perfect faith gives the perfect outside. To have a perfect knowledge is to believe perfect. To believe perfect is to be translated because Enoch was translated by faith. Is that right? There's God. A lot of people are sitting around like some of the churches of God. I don't mean that against the church of God. There's a lot of good folks there. But I say the rapture's coming. Rapture's coming. Not for them. Not for them. Brother, the rapture is a translation. There's no such thing as a rapture in the Bible anyway. It's change. Paul said glory to glory. It's a change from glory to glory in enlightenment. We are changed as we behold his face. Is that right? The rapture is a revelation. It's a change of revelation. That's what it is. There's a spiritual mind of God that's going to translate the church. Translate the church from glory to glory. Translate. And my brother, it's already taking place. It's already taking place. It's already taking place. I wish we just had time tonight to go into the three heavens just to show it. Already taking place. Now, to conclude what I'm saying here, to conclude it. Now, what is it? What is it? What's taking place? What's happening? I'm born to the Shekinah. I'm born. Somebody said, but what about all your faults? Where's my faults? Where's my faults? You can't lay nothing to my charge. But somebody said, well, what kind of condition you're in? The Bible said that God hath sanctified us. Is it from one revival to another? I wonder what he said, was it? But the Bible said God hath sanctified us once and for all. I don't know what kind of sanctification you got, but when God sanctified me, he done a good job of it one time and forever. Hallelujah. The Bible said the faith by which you're sanctified. Is that right? The faith, contend for the faith by which you're sanctified. Is that right? How did he sanctify me? The Bible said that God has once and for all sanctified me by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. He done it one time. That was enough. All right, somebody said, where do you go from there? The Bible said that he has justified me by faith. That means I never did it through Christ. It's all taken away. Is that right? He justified me. All right, that makes me without spot, wrinkle, blemish. All right, what is he going to do with that? The Bible said we've come to the mount wherein the spirit of just men. We're just because we've been justified by faith. We've come to the Spirit, the mount wherein the Spirit of just men are made perfect. Is that right? Perfect. How long? Perfected forever. How? God has sanctified me once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. And the Bible said that God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. How long did he make me perfect? He made me perfect forever. Forever I'm perfect. What is perfection without spot, wrinkle, and blemish? Somebody said, well, that means we're waiting for the glorification, but we got another move. Luther preached justification. Wesley preached sanctification, but this is glorification. Somebody said, where do you get that? The Bible said God has glorified them that he's perfected. The Bible said he has, that he's already glorified them. He's justified me. He's sanctified me. He's perfected me forever, and he has glorified me. Not only that, but then I was good enough by the blood of Christ. He translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God. And tonight, I'm standing here in heaven. If you're not up here, you need to come up here where I'm at. Somebody said, where do you get that? Jesus was standing there, and Nicodemus was talking to him. And Nicodemus said to him, said, Lord, what must I do? He said, you mean you're a preacher, Nicodemus? You're a ruler of the Jews? You're a leader in the synagogue, and you don't know nothing about what I'm saying? He knew he didn't know nothing about it. He said, how can you be a leader and be all those things? You don't know. You don't understand. But he said, no man has ever ascended into heaven. No man has ever come down from heaven except me. He said, I've been up there. I've come down from heaven. He said, I'm still in heaven. And Nicodemus was so bewildered. I'm sure when he looked at him, he thought, this man, I've heard that he's a lunatic, and now I'm convinced. Here I'm talking to him. I'm looking at him. I see him. And he says he's standing here in heaven. Now, what about that? Here he stood in heaven. And here Nicodemus stood over here, and he wasn't even in heaven. Well, who was it? Now, have you ever stood around the grocery store talking to the people, and there you stood in the kingdom of God, and there they stood out of the kingdom of God? You ever done it? God translated you into the kingdom of God, and there you stood in the kingdom of God just talking to them. There they was down there in the lowlands of earth and sorrow and frustration and fears and everything else. Then you just longed to tell them, just come on up here. Like I said, a John is the door from heaven. Just come on up here where I'm at. You ever long to do that? So I said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a knowledge that you can hear that'll take you from glory to glory and change your status of believing, and all of a sudden you're not believing that you're down here in the earth, but you're believing you're up here in heaven. You done had a rapture, done had a change, done got away, a revelation, something taking place. Paul says, such ones I caught in the third heaven. The ministry bringing you into the secure place. Is that right? So much we could say to prove this. But brothers and sisters, I am glorified. I'm perfected forever. I'm sanctified once and for all. I've been translated in the marvelous kingdom of God. They said, where are you, Brother Pike? I am in heaven. Amen. Somebody said, where do you get it? Because the Bible says that God has hid me with Christ. Am I hid with Christ? The Bible said we are hid with Christ, whom the heavens have received. Is that right? What received me? The heavens received me. Where are you? I'm over in heaven. So I'm sitting in the heavenly places. I know where you're sitting, but I'm sitting in heavenly places. Now, there ain't but one place at heavenly places. There ain't but one place that you can get in Dawsonville places, and that's in Dawsonville. There ain't but one place you can get in heavenly places, and that's in heaven, because that's the only place they are. So I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. How many deny that Christ is in heaven? It was obvious when he stood on the mountain over there that Elijah, Moses, and Jesus was up there in glory. Is that right? They appeared in glory. Is that right? Now, I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. That means that I'm up here in heaven with God. Well, what have I been trying to do? I've just been trying to get so much. Tell me that so I can believe it. Paul said, with the redemption of my body, be with you, recognize, accept, acknowledge, comprehend, come to the fact that God had took care of that too. We do it partly through healing. We say we're healed when we're not. We accept it before knowledge. See the revealed preaching of the foreknowledge of God, elect, translated, all of this done. Enoch discovered this and went right on in. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? By faith. All right. I'm going to say this, and I really am going to close. I meant to close a while ago, and Brother Ben, he spurred me on, he encouraged me. But I am going to close because, all right, now, I appreciate the wonderful freedom that Ben's given me. But I just want to say this one thing here. And that is that Enoch was translated by faith. And if we get into heaven, brethren, we're going to be translated by faith. It's got to be the preaching of the fivefold ministry, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to reveal to us our inheritance. At the sounding of that last trump, the mysteries are finished, which is the mysteries of godliness. The church age of mysteries finished. Brother Brown, close them out. I believe that. If we had time to go into it, I could prove it. But anyway, at the sounding of that, then we find ourselves in a different realm. And I say this, I've said it before because it's been a little confusing. We've got a man that is called the Walking Bible, and he says that Enoch, he'll have to come back here. He says that. He says Enoch will have to come back here, and he'll have to die. And Elijah, because he never saw death. He said Moses died. But as sure as you live, as sure as you live, Enoch is not going to do that. Because that would break the scriptures. The Bible said Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Is that right? Now, if you bring him back and make him die, you broke the scriptures. We might as well throw the Bible away. See, he was typical of the church, the seventh from Adam. He ain't going to come back and die. He was translated that he should not die. And Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. It's out of season for me, but said Brother Ben can preach it when he comes. It's a mystery. Said, well, not all sleep, but will be translated. Changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Is that right? He said, I got a hold of it. It caught me up to third heaven. Lord wouldn't let me stay up there because it wasn't time. But I got it, he said. I got it. I went up there. But he said it was out of season. But it ain't out of season. I'm done going up there too now. I said, I'm done going up there where he was. Ain't out of season now. I like it up here. As a matter of fact, I'd stay up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Let's everybody stand together. God bless you. I love you and appreciate you. If I said anything to hurt you, I didn't mean to. I was just trying to be friends with you, to love you, be a brother in Christ, try to tell you the way I understand things. And I never feel bad, though Brother Ben might not have to do this, but I never feel bad if I go off and a minister gets up behind me, if a pastor has to get up behind me, and he goes through some things, well, I just don't sit like that, because he's leading those sheep, he's leading his people. If he understands that, he's got to tell them what he understands, and I don't feel bad, because I know Brother Ben's advanced in the Lord. But the thing is, there's some that's not. And if they have to do that, well, I understand that. I don't fall out with them because they're going to give an account to God for leading those sheep. But I hope that I've said things. It's easy to be understood. The Bible says the wisdom that cometh from God is first peaceable. It's easy to be understood. You can entreat it. It's without partiality. And so I hope that we've said something good here tonight. Think on these things, and they'll do you good. Let's sing a little chorus together, and then we'll turn it right back over to our Brother Ben. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus. Oh, how I love Jesus. We don't have any music, but let's sing it anyway. You know, the apostles, most of the time, they didn't have any music. We're fortunate because we've got sons and daughters that can play guitars and pianos and all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, my daughter and, a couple of my daughters would have been here tonight to play the pianos and organ and instruments and sing, but somehow they just didn't make it tonight. But I'm thankful for the instruments, but if we don't have them, well, I have been out in street services, just out in the road, you know, sing without it, most all the time at the baptisms. But let's sing it together. We'll see eye to eye, speak the same thing, walk hand in hand, learn to acknowledge each other, to accept the authorities, the powers, the ranks, the measures of God within us, not as an ecclesiastical oversight over God's heritage as a Lord, but an example under the flock, not for filthy lucre, but as an example. Not to lord over them, but to love them and lead them. As a measure of whatever God has put in us, the Holy Ghost will thus compel the people to follow us. That's God, the Bible said, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. If he ordains, then you automatically follow because you love the measure of that gospel. That's how your pastors and evangelists come along. Let's sing this little song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. 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 Because he first loved me. I want you to slip your hands up while it's drumming on the guitar. And I want to pray for you tonight. I'm not going to try to pray for the sick individually because I've kept you here a long time. We are praying for the sick continually while we're out in the ministry. And God is being good to us. He's blessing people. We've had some wonderful reports in our times and what God has done for us. He's blessed us. We've seen numbers of things, outstanding things happen. But I want to pray for you just as a whole tonight. If you're sick in your body, I believe with all of my heart that God will heal you. If you've got a special need, if you're bound with a spirit, If you have something that keeps beating on your mind that torments you, spirits of torment. The Bible said he that hath fear hath torment. If something keeps hammering on your mind, tonight, if you'll believe, as I pray, God will take it away. He promised he would. And I believe with all of my heart that God will do it. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody started believing right then. Because when they started believing, I felt the Holy Ghost move. And the Holy Ghost don't move unless you believe. So somebody's faith went up to God then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel your spirit right now. Somebody, God, has touched the throne. Like the little woman, God, that got the virtue from heaven. Hallelujah. Somebody, Father, has gone up. Oh, hallelujah. And I feel the virtue of God right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to heal that body. Heal it, Jesus. Make it well. Touch it tonight in the name of Jesus. Follow up the wonderful virtues of Christ. Lord, go through that body tonight and heal it. Jesus, everyone tonight. Lord, that needs a touch from heaven, may it be so. To heal Jesus tonight and break the yokes, break the bondages. I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. I feel his presence. I feel the glory of God here tonight. Have faith in God.